The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
I'm Mary Jean Cancel, and you're listening to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 350 of the Mickey Miles and More Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa, and with me on the show today is Michelle Scribner-McLean. Michelle?
Something's new in here. We've had to expand the studio.
Yeah, got a new paint job.
Yeah, the doorway has to be bigger for the bigger heads coming in.
We've got stars painted on the ceiling.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting stuff. Yeah.
Got a red phone here that's direct line to Bob Iger.
Yeah. Oh, do we? That's awesome. Yeah, so. Well, before we introduce our new co-host, I'm so excited.
Everybody knows who it is.
I know. We are. It's not a secret at this point, but I do. We will continue to do our shout outs. And I actually asked in the Mickey Milers who I should give a shout out to. And hands down, the shout out awards went to the people who cheered for the race weekends, because it's a lot of work cheering, Mike, as you know. And specifically to Laura Oza, who's our mile 20 and a half chicken hat cheerer, and she did a great job. She has to talk her way into that mile 20 and a half every year, and she does it. And she also wanted to thank Matt Allgaier too, and Jennifer Hart Lyson, and a whole bunch of other people. But thank you, I should say, because you know, when you're running all that distance, just to see a familiar face, get an orange peel, get a Chris Foss was telling me that people were handing out colds, face cloths, and things like that. It means the world. So
yeah,
thank you to everybody who cheered.
And we know, I know how hard it is to cheer. And I think that one of the most gratifying things that happens when you cheer is when you see a friendly face come running and they see you.
We have a friendly face on the podcast
now. Yes, we do.
Ooh.
He's adorable.
Let's introduce the third member of our co-hosting team. It's none other than Chris Eliopoulos. Hello, Chris. How are you?
So we're on episode 350. It feels like the first episode.
Yeah.
This is awesome.
I mean, time flies when you have a
flu.
Yeah.
I walked in on third base. I was born in third base.
How are things in snowy New Jersey?
We're doing well. Okay. We're doing well. I did my snow plowing. I got my cardio in.
That's
so
good. That's
no running though, huh?
You know, I was going to go out. It was funny. I was going to go out running today. I just don't trust drivers. So,
yeah.
You know, the roads don't give enough leeway for a lot of people. And there's a lot of slush and stuff. So I'm always nervous about, you know, people not really being careful. So
I avoided
today.
Thrilled to have you on the show. We're thrilled that you're here.
No, you're not. But all right. You play a good game.
So on this, the first of our new...
I just want to say we have so many ideas between the three of us, even just texting each other all day long. We can do this, and we can do that, and we can do this. We have enough episodes for like 700 more episodes.
I've got already have a schedule of like 26 shows. I mean, I'm serious.
I kept throwing some in today, too.
I got a spreadsheet, 26. Yeah, you threw in a couple more, so we got about 30 shows, so we're not going to have a lack of content, that's for sure. We'll still be doing running shows every week and Disney shows every week, and we're going to be having guests. We're already lining up 3 or 4 or 5 guests. Pretty excited, so let's get going. So on this first show of the new Mickey Miles and More podcast, we're going to go right into listener questions, and we're putting Chris right into the fire, and Chris is going to help us field some questions. So, Chris, are you ready?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. All right, Michelle, start us off.
All right, Tom Reck has the first question. He wants to know, do you know how to get your official time from the race? I'm assuming he's thinking a Run Disney event. And
probably.
Chris, what would you want to do if you want to get your official time for a race?
I would go to rundisney.com/results.
Yeah.
Right? Boy, that's which is good. That was easy. Or Google it or whatever.
Yeah, that's what I do. I usually do Run Disney January race weekend results type of thing. But right. It's very, especially compared to other races that I've done, the results page is really easy to find. So
yeah,
and you can you can save that link if you want to use it as a proof of time. This past week we had proof of time submissions for the Star Wars weekend in April. So hopefully you got yours in. Did you get yours in, Chris?
I did. I updated from the previous one, so it pretty much stayed the same. So I don't think I'll be changing too much in my time. So
yeah, I thought I had done so well because I did a PR, and then I looked at the difference between my corral and the one before it, and it's like 12 minutes. I didn't do that much.
Yeah,
of a PR.
I think people are a little they don't understand the corrals, and I think we're going to see larger corrals. When I was out in the West Coast, there were only four or five corrals, and there were 14,000 people running. So do the math. So I think that there's going to be a wider range now. So you're really going to have to do, you know, your PR is going to have to do better than, okay, I beat my PR by 45 seconds.
Yeah.
You're
going to
have to say, that's me, you're imitating.
You're going to have to say, hey, I beat my PR by 30 minutes. Then that might make a difference.
Yeah.
Yeah. Plus the corrals, I mean, I'm sure you guys cover this in their marathon weekend wrap up, but the corrals went much quicker this year, at least that I noticed. We were marveling at how quickly they're going off and how many there were. So, I mean, unless you're changing a half hour or more, you're probably not changing your corral.
Yes, sad to say. All right.
Okay, next question comes from Chris Romito. And Chris says, I have a podcast question. Planning my very first Disney race in 2017 and planning on the Dopey Challenge. Since I know I will want to spend a lot of money at the expo, are you able to use a Disney gift card, or can you use credit card or cash? Michelle?
So, you can use a Disney gift card if you're buying Run Disney merchandise. Chris, you didn't mention where you wanted to spend your money at the expo. So I would say probably a good 10 to 15% of the expo space is Run Disney stuff, and you can use it there, as far as I know. You cannot use it for the other vendors, which makes sense. You know, Fit to Run doesn't take a Run Disney card. The stick, the rolling stick, doesn't take a Run Disney card. But anybody else have any different ideas about that?
No, I think you're right. I think it's just think of it as being something that you would use to get Disney merchandise. And if you can't use it there, then use it somewhere else, because you are in Disney and you can use it somewhere else.
I mean, even if you can't use it in the expo, you'll have your vacation expenses.
Go back to your hotel and buy some water to hydrate.
That's right.
All right, Chris, why don't you read the next one?
All right, this one comes from JC Wallace. Hello, Mike and Michelle.
And that other guy.
And somebody else. I am beginning my Tinkerbell half marathon training, and I am considering adopting the Galloway method. First off, do you two use this method? Go ahead, answer the question, and I'll keep reading as we go. We'll read them one at a time.
I usually do. I did not for a lot of this race weekend. I ran the whole 10K and ran most of the half.
I ran the 10K straight, and I did run-walk-run for the half, and I did run-walk-run for the Star Wars race weekend. So, yeah, I'd say 90% of the time I'm using it now, and it's just probably because I really can't train enough during the week to get back into straight running.
And I think that's the point of it for me, is not to get injured. It's not a training thing.
Yeah.
It's a prevent injury.
What about you, Chris?
See, it's weird. I tend to just run, but because we were doing the Goofy this year, I tended to do a run, walk, run. But I guess you would almost call it a modified. I run a mile. I walk a minute, and then I run again. I don't think it's like, obviously you guys, the Galloway is like what, you run like 30 seconds and then you walk for...
It's different for different people.
Right, it's a different...
Yeah, I was talking to Jeff Galloway when we were on the cruise. His son, Brennan, came in number two for the half, and he did run, walk, run.
Get out.
Yeah, number two.
Number two.
And I want to say that it was a nine...
I don't 30? Know if he did it for that half.
But yeah.
But so. Still, it's impressive that he's even up towards that upper level with with that run walk run.
I think he said Brennan did a 3:49 full marathon doing run walk run.
All right.
I'm just getting to the starting gate at that mile, at that hour. Three. All right. Second question. Have you seen improvement in your times using that method?
All right. So I was just talking about my half marathon. I PR'd. I ran most of the first half of the half marathon, and I did 40-15s for the second half, and I did negative splits. So what that means if you're new to running is that I was actually running my miles faster for the second half than I was for the first half, so it improved my time.
My 10K time in California was faster than my 10K time in Florida, and a lot of people say, well, maybe that's because it wasn't as crowded. I think it was as crowded, and I also want to throw in one more thing. I had 2.5 hours sleep before I did it. But
you ran faster?
And I ran faster.
Wow.
And the thing is, Chris, that what happens, and Jeff has said this, you know, if you're running, and he runs like, he'll run like for 10 or 15 seconds, and then he'll walk for 15 seconds or whatever. Here's the point. The philosophy is this. You can run pretty fast for 10 straight seconds, and then you walk, and then you run again fast for 10, 15 straight seconds. Mm-hmm. You may not be able to maintain that pace if you're running straight. So for most people, they will say they can run at a faster pace if they do run, walk, run, because they're resting and recovering early on. And then, you know, if you get if you're a mile or two away from the finish, then maybe you can just run the rest of the way. But it works really well for most people.
Can I ask a silly question, totally off of JC's? I tend to get into a rhythm when I'm running, and I feel good, and I know my pace. Do you feel like you can never get into a good rhythm when you're doing this, or does the rhythm involve the walking and the running as well? Do you sort of feel a rhythm with that?
For me, the rhythm is, I could turn off my 40-15 timer and still do it because it's part of my rhythm.
And there's a level of comfort.
And I really do speed up. As soon as I take that 15-second break, I can see that my pace is faster for that 40 seconds. So if you were to average it along, you know, with the 55 seconds, I go a lot faster during those 40 seconds. And the most important thing for me is I can feel that it's using different muscles, so I'm not stressing the same muscles all the time.
So yeah, you do get into a rhythm, but it takes a while to learn how to do it, to discipline yourself to do that. And I think for most people, it may take as much as a month to figure out what intervals are most comforting to you. And, you know, some people, we have one friend who will walk 3 minutes and 45 seconds and run 15 seconds. And then there are others who do completely opposite. So it's an individual kind of a thing. And I think that's what Jeff likes to promote, that it's up to you to see what's most comforting, but it does take a lot of discipline.
Okay. All right. Let's move on with the rest of her questions. Second, I am having issues clarifying the Magic Mile guidelines, and I thought maybe you two could help. I am trying to run at a 3:1 interval for my half marathon pace. So when I do my Magic Mile, would I still be using the 3:1 interval, or would I be trying to run the whole thing without any walking at a steady but challenging pace? Michelle?
Yes, I actually, because I did the Jeff Galloway e-coaching, I can answer this. First of all, I want to say that if you go on, is it galloway.com or jeffgalloway.com? Mike, maybe you can be doing your internet magic while I'm answering the question. Okay. But if you go on Jeff Galloway's site, he explains this. But what you're supposed to do is run your mile as fast as you can. So if you can do it without walking, you should try to do that without walking. And that's used as the basis for calculation of your speed and also for what you need to do going forward. So if you can't run the whole mile, run as fast as you can. It's jeffgalloway.com, Mike. I just popped on here. What he says is that you warm up with a slow 1 mile run. You do a few acceleration gliders. You pace yourself as evenly as possible on each quarter mile, and then you run about as hard as you could run for 1 mile, but no puking, because he's against puking. And then you keep
walking. I make no promises.
You keep walking after the time trial for 5 minutes. So that's he's asking you to kind of ease into it, but you do run for that whole magic mile.
The magic mile is what sets the pace for everything, right?
That's right. Yep.
Okay. Final question for her is, I am trying to understand the ideal way to run a magic mile that I can log and see progress in. I have read the instructions a few times over, and I am just not grasping it. Could you give me an example? Sorry if this seems silly. Thanks for your insight. I love the show.
Well, I think we already did, but I'm going to actually encourage you to give your specifics. Send a note to Jeff Galloway, even if you're not an e-coaching client. I'm sure he would encourage you to write to him. He's just that type of guy. He'll answer your questions if you have a specific question. So talk about what you're doing and what you want to do, and I'm sure that he'll help you. All right.
Yeah, great.
All right. The next question is from Catherine Gray. She says, hey, how early before a race weekend do volunteer opportunity registrations open? I'm looking to work wine and dine. That's a great question.
I'm just looking to wine.
Yeah. Bada bing. So I'm going to have to look that up, Mike. Do you remember? Of course, I signed you up for. Actually have it here.
He was drafted.
I have it here. So for January race weekend, the volunteer opportunities I signed up day of, it happened on September 5th. So does that make it 3 months ahead of time? So we're going to post it when we get the information because it is pretty competitive. But what you do is you sign up and it takes you right into active.com. So you end up having a registration that looks like you're running. And then just before the race, about a month before the race, maybe 3 weeks before the race, depending on which race you're doing, your credentials will show up. You may have all of them or you may have partial credentials depending on what you're doing. For us, some of them came in the mail and then we had to get some of them during race weekend at the expo. But yeah, but you do want to be on it right away because it does fill up.
Yeah, it's almost like the runs, huh?
It really is.
Everybody wants to get in there.
What do you think, Chris? Would you like to volunteer?
My only problem with volunteering is like costing all that money to go down there just to volunteer. I mean, I think I would do something like you guys do, where you would run a couple of the races, but also volunteer on the other races. Right now, with my kids in tow, it kind of gets a little hectic.
Right.
Trying to get those extra days in. We even did the goofy this time because we just had to be home for the kids a little bit on the school days. So I would definitely think about doing it. It seems like you guys had a lot of fun. It sounds like it's harder than the actual runs.
I think it was. And the other thing to remember is you have to have a car because you need to be able to get to the volunteer spots. And there are no buses running.
A big bladder also helps. Wow.
A big bladder, right? Because you don't let it get a lot of bathroom breaks.
That's true.
So.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the next question comes from Robert Chavez, who says, dear Michelle and Mike and new guy, I just got back to the real world. Yeah, the rookie. I just got back to the real world after finishing the Star Wars Lightside Half Marathon in Disneyland. Me too. It was my very first Run Disney Half and was tons of fun.
Wow, congratulations.
My favorite costumes were the two bearded gentlemen dressed as Princess Leia in the gold bikini. Saw those two guys.
Wow. It would burn your eyes.
I was blind for 2 minutes. It was, I saw them, I think, on mile 9, I think it was.
Were they down? Were they struggling? The best of when they wear those kind of costumes, in the beginning, they're so excited and happy. And you see them at mile 11, and they look like death warmed over, and they're still wearing those costumes. It's awesome.
It was. They always look like Jasmine, yeah.
Oh, were they all hairy?
Oh, yeah.
Not that Jasmine's hairy.
Hairy, yeah. They were
Manscaped,
hairy.
Guys.
But
Manscaped.
I don't know if she had as much hair on her chest as they had on theirs.
Wow.
So they said my question is about corral placement in Disneyland versus Walt Disney World. I had a previous half of 220, and in Anaheim I was in Corral A. Mm. Wow. How did I see them then if they were in Corral? After the event, I was talking to another participant that said the Florida Corrals were a lot more competitive. In your experience, where is the cutoff in time between corrals? Is corral A a 2:30 half, or is it closer to a sub 2 hour? It was nice being in front to get character pitches, but I can expect the same treatment. But can I expect the same treatment in Florida in April? Thanks, Bob. All right, Chris, I'm going to let you take a shot at this. I think you might have more information on this than me.
Yeah. Well, I found that there's a lot more people at the Disney World Marathon, so they do split up the corrals further. My friend Nate is a pretty good runner, a fast runner. He ran Dopey this year. He was in Corral A for the 5K and the 10K. But his times, which are pretty good, I mean, he ran, I think it was a 2:15 or so, if not better, half, and he was in Corral D in the Disney World. So you can imagine how many more elite runners are up in the front for the Florida run. The Disneyland, I think it's a smaller group of people, so you may tend to be further up in a corral, and the corrals may be larger.
Right.
Right, Michelle?
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I would not expect to have a 2:30 half and be in Corral A or B or C at Walt Disney World. And Mike, you were just at Disneyland. Wouldn't you say that your corral placement was higher?
There were five corrals, and for the Disneyland half, we had just under 15,000 people running, I believe. So five or six corrals, 15,000. Whereas in Walt Disney World, we had about 24,000, and we had how many corrals? We had So more people,
which was right by the Porta Johns, right?
That's 16.
Yeah, it was taking about 10 minutes.
Nobody got the joke.
P for Porta Johns, sorry.
Yeah. Well, P, because you can go.
No,
so I stood in line, and we I'll be here all week. Sang the national anthem in line. Yeah.
So I think you will. I mean, I have always been in the upper corral too, in Disneyland. So
yeah, me too.
Yeah. So the bottom line is Disneyland is better for the ego.
And Chris hit the nail on the head. There are more elite runners that run the Florida races. Yes. Therefore, a lot of us mid-packers are going to be pushed back.
Yeah.
All right. So congratulations on your first Disneyland, or very first run Disney half.
Yeah.
All right. So this next question is for the newbie.
Woohoo!
This is from Joe Kohler. Chris Eliopoulos, he says, I would love to hear your thoughts and others on the new Mickey shorts. I like the stories, but I feel like Ren and Stimpy art. So you're going to have to explain that. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, the new shorts, they have these little shorts. I don't even know where they run. I mean, you can see them on YouTube. They're very stylized Mickey cartoons. They're not long. They're little shorts. They're done. It's an amalgam. It's sort of done like hand-drawn but computerized style. It's very stylistic. Reminds me very much of like a Looney Tunes cartoon, zany, a lot of stretching. Like, so they don't really hold to the modeling of the characters as they stand now. Like, what you're looking at is sort of a goofed up version of the characters. Very stylized in terms of the backgrounds, very shocking colors and textures and stuff. I tend to really like them. I think they're a lot of fun and they're something different. We've seen in the past Disney animation has been very tempered, very tight. Like, you know, you see the Snow White stuff and she's, you know, rotoscope, meaning they basically draw over a filmed actor, and they literally, that's how they do it. They just trace over the actor. So like if you see, Snow White dancing around, they actually shot video of a woman doing that dance and they basically just drew over that to give it a real more lifelike. These shorts are just more wacky fun. I enjoy them. I tend to like more extreme stuff like this.
Chris, this is a question of ignorance because I don't know.
I know, but a lot of people probably don't even know they're out there.
But if, like, when you say stylized, are you saying that they're kind of, they use kind of a color palette that kind of offsets them from other cartoons? Like,
yeah.
What do you mean when you say stylized?
Well, the model, the character models. So Mickey doesn't look like you see Mickey on, the products in your stores. He looks kind of goofy. He's got that, they call it a pie eye. So it's like a circle with a little pie wedge taken out of it.
Oh, okay.
They're a lot more squash and stretchy. Like, it's a lot more retro looking than you see today. And so it's very different from what you've seen in traditional Disney animation. Like, you see, like, every hotel you go to, they always play the cartoons on the TVs in the lobby sometimes. So you'll see those. Those are like the traditional Disney shorts that you used to see in the 40s and the 30s that they still play today. And they're very straightforward. These, I mean, are just over the top wacky. And they're a lot of fun. I got a kick out of them.
How would you find them on YouTube? Do you know?
I think you just look up Mickey Shorts. Okay. And they have a whole, like, there's a whole bunch of them. I mean, you could, there's a whole playlist. You could go through them all. They're just, but they're a lot of fun. I tend to like them. I don't think we need to always have everything look so on model and crazy. It's fun to see them.
Oh, I see what you're saying now. Okay, I'm looking. I just did Mickey Shorts.
See?
Yep.
You didn't come up with like a red pair of pants with two circles on it?
I can see. Yeah.
Yeah, so.
I want to say, too, that this is kind of not, doesn't have to do with his question, but I don't know, Chris, if you got a chance to see in the theater where Honey, Pixar. I Shrunk the Audience, the Pixar shorts.
Did you get to see it this time?
Oh, did you see? You didn't see the 3D? Well, I'm sure. I can't remember what film it was at the beginning of, but the film that was sort of like an old time Mickey Mouse cartoon, and they came out of the screen.
Hmm.
They broke through the screen and came out of it, and I had seen that, and I think Mike, you
Pete
had seen
there.
It. And
this is a Pixar movie.
It was Pixar shorts, but they were all in 3D. But that one, particularly in 3D, blew my socks off. I thought it was just.
And I've seen that before.
I can't remember what movie it was the beginning of, but it was fantastic. And I don't know which one it was, but we'll have to.
But Lava is one of them, and a few
others. Right.
Did they do lava in that?
Yeah, remember that? Yeah. Remember the mountain, the volcano? Yeah. The volcano. Remember?
Yeah, I know what lava is. I just didn't think they did it.
Yeah.
I know what lava. I know what the Pixar thing is.
I mean, we didn't have much time to do anything. And
we both just kind of looked at each other and went, like, oh my gosh, that
was
fabulous.
It was like about maybe 45 minutes of.
No, it was 18. You know why? Because we were meeting.
45 minutes to 18? Michael,
we were meeting somebody. We're meeting somebody, and I asked.
I must still be on. I must have taken the red eye back from.
I remember I asked, we were meeting somebody, and I said, how long is it? And they said 18 minutes. So it's. It's Pixar shorts that you wouldn't have seen before, but they have an interview at the beginning in the pre-show where they talk to John Lasseter and they talk about how the shorts are so important to Pixar as a company because it's
shorts.
Their way to develop new talent, but also kind of stretch the technology. Yeah. So, it was fantastic. So.
And they actually have a couple of videos, DVDs, and you can get them on iTunes, collecting the first two batches of the shorts that you could get individual of the movies, so they're good. I really love them.
Yeah, they're great. Anyway,
yeah.
So we have our first non-run Disney question from Joe Kohler, and Chris,
thanks, Joe.
Thank you very much for answering that.
Woo!
I just went on.
We're on our way.
Let's go.
All right, so until next time, Chris, thank you very much. And Michelle, thank you very much. And we're on our way. So for Chris Aliopoulos, for Michelle Scribner MacLean, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road.
And more.
And more.
The Mickey Miles podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. If you would like to support the podcast, please go to mickeymiles.podbean.com and click the green Become a Patron button in the upper right-hand corner of the menu bar. We thank you for your support. Don't forget, our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/mickeymilespodcast. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/mickeymilespod. Last of all, don't forget, if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@mickeymilespodcast.com, and we'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.